Welcome back, everybody. Another edition of the Blue and Orange Experience, your place, your space for all things Morgan State University athletics. And on today's edition of the Experience, we are so pleased to be joined by the head man in charge of Morgan State University Hoop. Hey, Coach Kevin Brodus. Coach, I understand you've been places.
Yeah, we took a nice little trip across the waters, across the pond, as they would say. Had a very successful time over there. We went to Brussels, Antwerp, Brugge, and Paris.
Wow. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that trip. But before I do that, Coach, I want to back up just a bit and talk about a couple of young men who have transitioned out of the program, who I think were very key in stabilizing things when you initially arrived as head coach. They've exhausted their eligibility. They've moved on. Before I talk about the future of Morgan basketball, I want to dip into the past a little bit, and specifically Isaiah Burke and Malik Miller. What those two individuals meant, not only on the floor as players, but just to the stability of the program and to you as head coach. You could start with Isaiah Burke, if you will.
Isaiah was one of the tough heart and soul players of the program. He is now headed over to Greece. He inked the deal over in Greece, one of the top programs over there, and I'm just so happy for him, his next phase in life.
Of course, Malik Miller unfortunately got injured relatively early in the conference schedule against Howard down in D.C., so unable to play for most of the season. But what did he mean to this program?
Malik was Morgan, you know, and I keep saying it, heart and soul of the team. He was, as Malik went, we went. Malik meant a lot to this program, and he did a lot for the program. He's here now finishing up his degree, then he's going to go abroad and play like Isaiah. I'm happy for him. The thing that I love about Malik, he never gave up on his academics. That was this is first. He's staying here to finish and graduate. Then he's going to go overseas. He probably could have still went. The degree is going to take me along for the next 40 years. So let me get that first. Then I can jump into my career. So I'm very happy of what he's doing, what he's done for himself. And it was unfortunate what happened. That's a part of life, and that's a part of this sport. He's that type kid that, you know, came from the inner city of D.C., always expressed, get your degree. And that's what he's working on to finish up, hopefully, this fall.
Malik, of course, wasn't the only student-athlete that you lost throughout the course of the season last year. And Coach, I was really impressed with how the team, yourself, your coaching staff, not about excuses. We're just going to move on with who we have. We've had some unfortunate circumstances. We don't have people. But you kept the team competitive. They kept fighting. Big win here in this building over the team that eventually became the champs, Howard, also beat Norfolk. Competitive throughout. If you could just speak to how this team came together through all the adversity that you encountered last season.
You know, losing Malik was a big part. Then we lost Khalil, and I think the guys, you know, rallied around themselves and got together, more so than me. They got together and said, hey, we're not going to just quit. These guys said, you know, we're going to fight to the end. And I was proud of what they did. What we accomplished with a limited roster last year. I mean, 15 wins with playing with walk-ons. So now we're back to normal. I think we, you know, got the right group, the right core to go and try to win a MEAC championship. You know, you always look at your experience and say, okay, if we did it this way with these guys, what's next? Now I think we're ready to take the next step.
Well, you got a head start, Coach, on that next step, as you had an opportunity to go overseas and visit a few places on the other side of the pond. Because you have so many new faces on the roster, how important was that trip from a team building, rapport building perspective?
It was important, but that's the lay of the land now. That's college athletics. I don't know if we really got ahead or anything. What we did was exercise the way of now getting togetherness outside of our comfort zone, outside of the States. So we go to a foreign country. We land, I think it was in Amsterdam, and we ride a bus without a bathroom for hours. You know, you learn a different way. You play games in a foreign country, the rules are totally different. You sleep in smaller beds. You're out of your comfort zone. Yes, it's nice, but it's uncomfortable too. Mm. And I think our guys stepped up, and I think our guys embraced the opportunity because, you know, not just HBCUs, a lot of schools at this level don't go to places like
right. that.
They don't take those foreign trips for whatever reason. I'm not going to say it's just money or whatever. A lot of coaches don't want to do it. They don't want to go out the country and risk, you know, taking 17, 18, 20-year-olds, you know. But I think it was a good opportunity once I sat down with the president to tell him, you know, kids need to experience this. Mm-hmm. Because kids always say they want to play at the next level, the professional level. And that's probably the closest to a lot of them going to play overseas. And they got to understand how far away they're going to be, mm-hmm. What kind of gyms they're going to play in. You think, you know, some of the places we play, those gyms are bad. You know, 100 degrees in there. But it's a great experience. It was a eye-opener, you know. It was physical, you know. It was a lot of things, but a lot of good things, too. And we enjoyed ourselves, and it helped when you win all four games, and you're down in all four games, and you win them all. It helps your confidence, too, because we didn't know what to expect. We, truthfully, you want to go over there and you want to make a good showing. I've been over there multiple times with multiple programs, Georgetown, Maryland, American U, I mean, different programs, and they weren't all great, you know, playing-wise, but though, I'm not going to say we had a great plan. I thought we learned some things about ourselves, the new guys, what they bring to the table. So I think, you know, if we could stay healthy, I think we got a chance to be at the top of the league.
What was the general level of competition and the four teams that you played over there compared to what you play here?
Second level, not the first level, second level, okay. Which is a really good level, which has like maybe, you know, a couple guys that's come down from Division One pro mm-hmm. and some that's going up. The older guys, they're in their late 20s, early 30s. You know, we played the three teams we played were second level teams that's going to win their league, supposedly okay. going to win their league. The fourth team we played was the under 21 level team, which was probably college level players. Mm. We got down. It was good competition. Like the top three, the first three teams we played was equivalent to mid major plus, high major minus teams.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got a chance. And then you're playing under their rules, which are tough. You know, I remember one of the guys told me, tell you guys don't take charge. But my thought was if we don't take charges, we won't learn anything. We won't. And then first couple of plays, we took charge. They didn't call it, and the guys are looking at me, and I just said, keep playing. So it was different, but it was really good. It was really good.
You had an opportunity, I'm assuming, to learn a little bit about some of the new players that are going to be on the roster when you see them in a competitive environment?
Oh, yeah. I learned a lot. You know, I coached the first game, and then I took a step back and let the assistants coach the other three games. Which was good for them, and it was good for me to be across to watch, to observe, and to, you know, see what our guys and how I would do things during, you know. I was impressed with the assistants had the same thought process I had without me even saying anything. It was a good thing.
Let's go through some of the new names one by one, their skill set, what they bring to the program. We'll just do it numerically. Let's start with Winston Tabbs.
Winston, wow. We're lucky to have the guy.
Okay.
He was special overseas. I mean, he was best player in every game. Winston has a knack to score and a really good knack. He has a great feel for the game. He can pass. He can defend. It was a reason he played at the ACC level, and I can see it. You know, he just got to stay injury-free. If he stays injury-free, I think this guy's got a chance to be one of the top players in the league. He's special.
You have another guard, Damajon Topps. Another player with some college experience. Talk about his skill set.
Damajon is a little guy, that's got a lot of fight in him. He's a lot like Allen Iverson. I see a lot of that in him coming back strong. He's a freak athlete for his size. Fast, and he's very intelligent. He's one of those type guys play with chip on the shoulder. So can't wait to get him back out there. He's going to be really good for us, the way we like to play.
You got a Chicago native, Caron Oliver?
Ooh. Now, I say this cautiously.
Okay.
He's athletically like Troy Baxter.
Wow.
I mean, he showed me a lot overseas. Got a little banged up over there, but he's okay. Coming back. But he's a freak athlete that can really shoot and defend. He can really defend. I'm happy to have him.
St. Francis transfer, Miles Thompson.
Inside out guy.
Okay.
Double-double, physical, can really shoot. Can't fall in love with the three-point shot, but he can make the three-point shot. He can post you. I mean, he brings another dimension. He's that guy that always, at this level, hurt the big levels.
Hmm.
That's 6'6", 6'7", wide body. You know, can play inside and out. And we played against him when he's at St. Francis.
Oh, okay.
He had 18 and 8 when he played here.
Okay.
First year. He's going to really help us.
Talk to us about the young man out of Brooklyn, Amari Simpkins.
Tough kid. Probably one of our better off-ball defenders. Gets to the basket.
Okay.
Had a really, really good Paris trip. He's going to find a way to be on the court a lot. Not just sometimes, but just the way he does things, the way he plays hard every possession. He brings that toughness that you want on your team.
You got a big that you're bringing in, Daniel Adekobe?
Daniel Boone is the coach's call.
Okay. Okay.
He is the kid that surprised me probably the most of it. I didn't know what we were getting with him.
Okay.
Tough. Can play inside and out. Skill set really good. I mean, he brings a whole different dimension to what we thought we were getting. I think he can really help us.
Got an addition from Kentucky, Trent Edwards.
Trent Edwards, the freshman. Long, lean, athletic. You know, once he gets stronger, he's going to be a force in this league. This kid is 6'8", 6'9", can really run. He runs like a deer. He jumps like a pogo stick. I mean, he's a good addition. He showed some promise overseas.
Okay.
Yeah, the last game he really stepped up, showed some promise. He had a double-double, so.
Got a young man for the DMV, another freshman, Sticardo Washington.
Sticardo is hurt now. He didn't play overseas, but we know he brings toughness. He's that energy and glue guy that you want on your team. Roots for everyone. I root for that kid. I think he's going to be good for us here.
Another D.C. area guy in Marvin Brimage.
One of the best shooters to come out of D.C. last year. He's going to shock some people. Once he gets stronger like Trent, he's going to be good in this league as well.
Seven-footer from California, Christian Oliver.
Christian is a big, big skill player. I remember going out 2 years ago to East L.A. to Last Chance U, and I asked the coaches, what about that big kid over there? All the bigs were recruiting him, saying, nah, you'd be better off recruiting X, Y, and Z. And by, the luck of, he fell to this level. And I think once he gets his body right, which he has been working on all summer, he's been here all summer, he's going to be one of the top bigs in this league. I mean, he's skilled. He can shoot from the three. He can play inside, outside. I mean, he does it all. Just got to get better defensively.
You got another transfer guard, Titan Newton.
Titan is going to sit out this year.
Okay.
He's a big-time scorer that was at Frank Phillips. We're going to let him get acclimated to the program, but we love what he brings. He's a big-time scorer that can really handle the ball.
6'10 big from Nigeria, Alan Udomadu.
Big fella. Physical. That's all I can tell you. That guy, we're happy to have him. He's a physical specimen that like to push people around, very athletic, very astute to the game, too. He brings a toughness with him that we needed.
You got also a transfer, a guard from Atlanta, Xavier Valley.
Xavier's coming off injury. He's at Cali last year, big-time shooter, 6'8 shooter. I like them long, lean, athletic wings, and I think he's the guy that we're looking for in that capacity that can really shoot. He shoots the threes. You know, we just got to get him help.
Every team, coach, every year is different. They're kind of like your children. Everyone is an individual. Every team is an individual team in terms of its makeup, its personality. Do you have a sense of what this team, personality-wise, talent-wise, is just yet, or is that still coalescing?
Not necessarily yet. You know, we got to go through the fire a little bit here to find out who we really are. You know, that was just the appetizer. That was the opening. You know, now we got to dig in to see when we play against like guys that look like us, play like us, and, they look into how we're going to do things. They look back. They scout us.
Right.
None of those teams got to scout us. So now we got to play against guys that know what we're doing. So see how we do things. So we're up for it. I mean, I think we have the toughness. We have the numbers. We have the people that know how to win. You know, I think we're right on the right track.
Schedule, particularly non-conference. Conference is going to be what it is, but non-conference, how competitive is it? What does it look like for this season?
Well, we start off from the jump. We go out to Arizona. That's the first game. And we have a couple non-ones we come home to. Then we back out. We're at Fresno. Then we're at BYU. Then we go to Cancun. So
okay.
It gets tough. Then we're at Towson, at High Point. Then we have a NCAA team, Longwood. Then we have a very good UMBC team. Then we come back home for a non-one. Then we go to Campbell. Then we play a very good JMU team. Then we play an ACC team, UVA. And then we at NJIT to end out our non-conference schedule. I think it will prepare us to be tough on the road and at home.
Coach, the home cooking, when you're playing here in this building, there's a certain energy that I think is special. And the one game that really comes to mind is the Howard game here at home. Of course, we got the visit from Magic Johnson. That probably helped with a little bit of energy. But how important is it to get that kind of consistent flavor in the building when the Bears play here at home?
I think it's very important. I think we will have it, you know, just like, you know, I'm happy that football won at Richmond because that'll bring another dimension around campus. Once you get that positive feeling around campus with all sports, volleyball won this weekend, once you get that going, it's contagious. And we need that for all sports, not just men's basketball, women's sports, softball, tennis, all the sports, football. But it's very important because positivity helps everyone. Because, see, all these student-athletes live with regular students. Mm-hmm. And once everyone's positive about your team, then it becomes infectious around here. And I'm just glad everyone's around here winning, so it brings some positivity around here.
Coach, I want to switch gears real quick. Every time I talk hoops, I always got to talk GOAT talk, greatest of all time. I just want to get your thoughts. I'm a guy, I'm still stuck on Jordan, number 23 for the Bulls as my GOAT. Maybe that's a generational thing more than anything else. But when your thoughts drift to the greatest who played this game, what is the name, or maybe it's more than one, who are the names that come to your mind, Coach?
The GOAT, Michael Jordan.
All right.
Number 32 is a close second.
All right, Magic.
And then you got number 33, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Then you have Oscar Robertson. You have guys like that that revolutionized the game, that's, you know, put the game where it is now. People talk about generational, you know, and I always say people lie, numbers don't. Look at their numbers across the board, not just championship, everything that they brought to the game. It's different. Now, I know the kids of today are going to say LeBron, this LeBron. LeBron's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. Very, very. He's a special player. He's not Michael Jeffrey Jordan. He's not Irvin Magic Johnson. You know, those type guys. You know, I always tease guys. You know, one of my favorite players, because of my relationship with him, is Patrick Ewing.
Mm.
And people don't even put him in that same. But, you know, Patrick is up there. LeBron is a special talent. What, 6'8", 6'9", 270 pounds, 60 pounds, and doing what he's doing. Yes, he's special. But Michael was 6'6", doing that. you know, not even half the size, but I give it to Michael.
Okay, Coach. I'm on the same page, man. I'm on the wavelength with you.
I don't argue with these youngsters about it because, you know, in their mind, they feel some kind of way, and I get it. You know, like someone said, how many players during the time Michael played against was worthy of getting a championship? It was a lot of them. They didn't because Michael was getting them all. How many great players now is playing against LeBron getting championship? A lot of them. Now, he's in the championship games, but, you know, and it's team sport. And that's the thing we always got to come back to. Yes, they're all great players, but teammates make you great, too.
Let's take it off the floor, Coach. Give me your coaching GOAT of all time, college or pro. Okay, that was easy. We're on the radio, but he's pointing to the picture of John Thompson right here in his office. And that was quick, Coach. He didn't hesitate.
And one other person, Will Jones. People don't know. A lot of people don't know who Will Jones was. He was coach of UDC, University of Columbia, won national championship. He was one of the first to win a national championship, and I worked under him. And just to, you know, you live those guys every day. I respect what they did and how they did it. You know, from afar, I see the other guys. If I was, say, an NBA coach from where I sit, other than those two, I just mentioned Will Jones and John Thompson, would be probably Pat Riley.
Okay.
Just to see how he did it as a coach and now how he's doing it up in the front office. I mean, that guy's special. He evaluates talent and he knows how to play talent, you know. Other than that, I mean, you got a lot of really, 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 really good coaches. Mike Krzyzewski, Popovich. I'm going to go with him and Will Jones.
Head hoop coach here at Morgan State University. I'm Lamont Germany. This has been the Blue and Orange Experience.